There's a theme on the takeaway this morning, but it's not one that we really chose. It's just one that we noticed coming out of the headlines this morning, and that's about controlling the message. And this has always been an issue between the press and the military, always. Since the very first TV cameras captured images of U.S. soldiers crouching in the jungles of Vietnam, there has been debate about how much access journalists should have to combat troops.
Well, it's certainly an issue in the Pentagon. Nixon tried to control the media at his peril.
Yes, that turned out very well for him. Right. But, you know, the reason this has come up recently is because the article in the Rolling Stone written by Michael Hastings, a profile of General Stanley McChrystal, of course, that most people know that General Stanley McChrystal ended up getting fired by President Obama and replaced by General David Petraeus. The recent development, though, and this is kind of ironic, John, is that in this entire issue about access and press coverage, this memo that Defense Secretary Robert Gates wrote last Friday got leaked to the press. So
I love that's my favorite part.
He had to speak to the press yesterday about this, and this is what he said.
If you're a captain in a unit that has an embedded reporter, as long as you're within the guidelines and the rules, we expect you to be open with that embedded reporter. On the other hand, if you're a captain in this building working on budget options, I expect you to keep your mouth shut.
Can you tell what that means?
Actually, I can, and it is pretty interesting. I mean, they want a lot of control. And, of course, if you are an embed, as our next guest is going to be able to tell you,
exactly.
The Pentagon has an enormous amount of control over the message of reporters.
Well, let's ask him ourselves. John Burns, who's reported on wars in Bosnia, Iraq, and Afghanistan, he's won two Pulitzers for his reporting. He's currently the London bureau chief for the New York Times. So, John, can you decipher what Robert Gates said in the press conference yesterday? Do you have a firm understanding of what exactly are the limitations now?
Yeah, I think many of us are very inhibited by the instruction that Mr. Gates gave a week ago, the leaked memo, and the statements that he made yesterday at his news conference. You can read them either way. He's emphasizing, for example, and I have his cover letter for that memo in front of me, that we must strive to be as open, accessible, as transparent as possible, provide timely, accurate, credible, and consistent information, etc. But then there are all the caveats that you have just mentioned. But I have to say, I think that more important than any of this is simply going to be the backwash from the firing of General McChrystal. I think that will have sent a chill throughout the United States military at every level of authority, from four-star generals down to the enlisted man, and that is going to have very serious effects for all of us who cover wars.
It seems backward to me, John Burns, because really what they're saying is not that General Stanley McChrystal's comments, he shouldn't have made the comments, but that he shouldn't have let them get to the press. In other words, Gates is not taking issue with what Stanley McChrystal said or what his staff said, but that he allowed them to get into the media. That seems odd.
You know, I think, to be fair, Secretary Gates would feel that the President of the United States has made very clear what the position on military officers, particularly military officers of general rank, making statements that cavil, that question so severely, if you will, the wisdom and authority of his civilian superiors. I don't think that's in doubt. I think they've moved on beyond that, and there's probably, I can't say because I've not spoken to Secretary Gates or Admiral Mullen about this, but I would say that there is a feeling in all of this that General McChrystal has taken an extremely heavy hit on all of this, and that there's not much to be gained from going back over the ground that was covered 10 days ago when he was fired.
But is Secretary Gates then taking advantage of a situation to then, as we said earlier, control the message? Is he using this as an opportunity to kind of put the lockdown on?
No. I just don't see it like that. I think, as I said, that this is a chilling message and that we in the press are going to take a hit out of all of this. To my mind, what they've done is, if you will, fairly predictable. Now, they've told us that they were preparing to do this beforehand. I've no doubt that was true. But I've also no doubt that this is a much stricter message than it would have been had there not been this incident. I'm more interested in the part of this that we, the press, can influence and control. The government always has an instinct, of course, to protect and not to reveal to us information that is damaging. We, on the other hand, have an interest in getting as much information as possible. And I think that there are lessons to be learned for the press, too, from this incident as to how we can build a relationship with the military that's going to make that possible.
But do you think that a freelancer violated some unwritten rules that now the rest of the media and now media consumers are going to suffer from because it's meant the Pentagon sort of pulls in the wagons?
Well, I think, first of all, I'm sorry to be tedious about this, that all of us have to issue a disclaimer here, because we were not in Kabul and Paris with General McChrystal and his party when Michael Hastings did that reporting. But we can only say what appears to many of us to be the case. And you have to imagine that this issue is being debated within the media.
Sure.
With all the intensity that an issue of high theology is debated at the Vatican. This is a very, very important issue to us. The appearances, as far as I can understand it, from what Mr. Hastings himself has said, is that the quotations which wrecked General McChrystal's command and his career were taken from informal moments, most of them, if not all of them, in his Mr. Hastings' time with the general and his staff, which fell squarely into the ambiguous area that we all of us operate in all the time, which is to say that the standard rule in the newsroom of every major newspaper and broadcaster in the United States was he on the record or off the record doesn't really meet the case, because there is much that happens, almost most, I'm inclined to say most, that happens in these sorts of assignments, which falls into an ambiguous area between those two poles, precisely because you spend so much time traveling on helicopters, traveling on fixed-wing aircraft, being held up, as General McChrystal and his party were in Paris during the volcanic ash episode, where you develop a personal relationship, a relationship, in fact, of trust. And the question really is, was that trust broken? Only Mr. Hastings and the general and his staff really know that. But I think we have to be very careful to maintain that trust.
And other journalists are reaping the consequences of that trust as well, or the breach of it. John Burns has reported on wars in Bosnia, Iraq, and Afghanistan. He is the London bureau chief now for The New York Times.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.